You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, I need you to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I'm finally going to talk some prospects. I want to go through some honorable mentions before I get into the top 30 prospects for the Mets. So on today's show, going to go through a couple hitters who aren't in the top 30 prospects that I just think should still be spotlighted, and then I'll do the same for pitchers, and then as we go through the prospect series, it'll be two prospects at a time, counting down from 30 all the way down to the number one prospect in the Mets organization. So on today's show specifically, I'm going to talk about Luis Carpio and Blake Tabiri in the first half, and then I'll close out the show in the second half talking about David Thompson, Wagner LaGrange, and Patrick Mazzica. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizeOnline.com. Now, I'm recording this on Thursday the 26th, which would have been opening day. I know a lot of people are upset about that. Hopefully, there will still be an opening day this year. That's what we are all holding out hope for. But getting to these prospects, Blake Tabiri is an interesting prospect because he was a third-round draft pick out of Louisville in 2016. When the Mets drafted him, he was coming off a college season that saw him hit .340 with a .387 on-base percentage and a .553 slugging percentage. He had 10 home runs, 18 doubles, 2 triples, 51 RBIs. He was a really interesting prospect at that time. Since then, we've seen Tabiri kind of fall off a little bit. He hasn't had the most success in the minor leagues. He's a career .244 hitter in the minors. When he last played in 2019, he spent the entire season in Port St. Lucie, so he had finally gotten to high A ball in 2018 at the end of the year, had a full season in 2019, had some decent numbers. He hit .252, a .332 on base percentage, a .337 slugging percentage, so not a ton of pop there. He did have 29 doubles, did steal 16 bases. To me, he's an interesting player because he could potentially be a Luis Guillorme of sorts, someone who can maybe move around the infield. Right now, his best position is probably second base, can play some third, maybe some left field. So that is an interesting player, and I think Luis Carpio is kind of similar to Tabiri. He's at a stage now where I think the Mets are probably trying to groom him as another utility infielder, playing some second, some third, some shortstop if necessary, some left field. At one point, he was a highly touted shortstop prospect. In fact, back in 2015, he was ranked number 7 by Baseball America in the Mets farm system at the time, 18 years old. Pretty fresh after being signed internationally. And then we saw that prospect status slowly but surely drop. In 2016, he was ranked as the 20th prospect by Baseball America. 2017, the 26th prospect before falling off their list of top 30 prospects altogether. And the reason being, he was hitting early on in his career. In fact, he was ranked as the number 7 prospect by Baseball America in the entire Appalachian League, which is a rookie league, so that's of all teams, when he hit .304 with a .372 on base percentage. But since then, he just has not produced the same way offensively. Last season, Carpio was in single-A in Port St. Lucie, ended up doing really well, hit .330 with a .396 on base percentage, a .426 slugging percentage across 31 games, got promoted to double-A, and he held his own. He hit .263 with a .347 on base percentage, .362 slugging percentage. So he did okay. Had 15 doubles in 82 games. Not a big power hitter, 3 home runs, 22 RBIs, all of that in Double A. So I think Carpio has a better chance than Tiberi at this point. Not only is he a level up from Tiberi, he's also younger. He's still just 22 years old. Tiberi, on the other hand, is 25. So I think Carpio has a chance here. If he can put together a good season, maybe at some point he is a player that can come up and make an impact. Probably not going to ever be a starting caliber player, but he's another guy that could eventually factor in as a utility infielder. Like I said, he does have that track record as a shortstop. Probably not his best position anymore, but he can potentially play that, and that is an added benefit when you're talking about a backup utility infielder. Luis Guillorme, very similar. He's not a natural shortstop in the sense that he's better at second, probably better at third, but he can play shortstop and back up Amed Rosario, and that's where these guys can bring great value. So I think those two guys have potential to be Mets at some point, even though they are not top prospects. Now, in just a minute, I got three more prospects to talk about: David Thompson, Patrick Mazzica, and Wagner LaGrange. But first, do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale of 2020. If you are looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have that Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, and even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even knows who's who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com at withings.com/MLB to get 25% off your Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off your Body Plus body composition scale. Now, the first prospect of the last three I want to talk about is David Thompson, who is a slugging third baseman that the Mets drafted in the fourth round back in 2015 out of the University of Miami. He was a big power hitter there. He had some injuries early on in his college career, a couple shoulder surgeries. He had the same thoracic outlook syndrome that Matt Harvey had, all that in college. 2015. He ends up having a great season for the Miami Hurricanes, hits 19 home runs, has 89 RBIs, 329 hitter with a 436 OPS and a 647 slugging percentage. And the Mets think, wow, this guy could really be something special. They draft him in the fourth round. And there was a thought that he could potentially be on a similar type arc as maybe even a Pete Alonso, someone who could come up and be maybe the third baseman of the future at one time. In 2016, starting with the Columbia Fireflies and then playing the second half of the year with the St. Lucie Mets, Thompson combined to hit 280 with a 333 on base percentage and a 444 slugging percentage. That was good for a 778 OPS. You saw the power. He had 34 doubles, 2 triples, and 11 home runs, all that resulting in 95 RBIs. And so at that time, it seemed like he could be a real threat. 2017 comes along. He has another pretty solid season. Ends up playing the entire year at AA. 133 games, 16 home runs, 29 doubles, 1 triple, 68 RBIs, 263 average, 325 on base, 429 slugging percentage. Good for a 754 OPS. He goes to the Arizona Fall League, tears that up too. Hits 328 with a 371 on base percentage and a 569 slugging percentage across 15 games there. And that was really the height of his prospect status, coming off two really solid years. At the time, he was ranked as the 29th best prospect in the Mets farm system by Baseball America. They basically lauded him for his ability to drive the ball to all fields. He had a fly ball-oriented swing, as they said, with high exit velocities that should translate to more home run power as he maximizes his launch angle. They talked about his defense being pretty average as far as his range. He doesn't have the best arm with those shoulder injuries. And according to this prospect report by Baseball America, it says the Mets lauded him for his leadership ability. Now, he did not even get an invitation to spring training this year. So what happened from then to now? Well, 2018 season was a little bit of a disaster for him. He played 22 games in AAA, got hurt with a hand fracture, was never quite able to get back. 2019, he had a full season, played 123 games, but he just wasn't the same. He hit .217 with a .289 on base percentage and a .348 slugging percentage. I look at Thompson as an interesting case because here's a guy that at one point was the type of power bat you crave in a prospect. He is 26 years old, kind of at the point now where it's make or break for him. He did have success. He was on a positive trajectory, and the last 2 years have just really sunk in his value. So I think he's someone who can have a big season and maybe be one of these late bloomers who comes up and makes an impact in the next couple years, but the clock is definitely ticking on David Thompson. Moving over to Wagner LaGrange, he is someone who in 2017 was ranked with the best outfield arm in the Mets farm system by Baseball America, never quite getting that top 30 prospect status. But if you look at his career, he's a .297 career hitter across the minor leagues, .352 on base percentage, and a .398 slugging percentage, good for a .750 OPS. That's a very solid minor league career for a player that, you know, hasn't really progressed that quickly through the Mets farm system. Right now, last year, he graduated into St. Lucie and playing high A ball, performed well, hit .293 with a .362 on base percentage and a .414 slugging percentage, good for a .776 OPS in just 36 games. The idea probably would have been for him to spend another full season there, maybe get promoted to Binghamton halfway through the year if he was really tearing it up, and who knows what he could be. He's an outfield prospect, which the Mets don't have a ton of. Right now, he is 24 years old. So this is another player that is interesting to me, someone who maybe fills an organizational need as an outfield prospect who has a pretty good track record, yet for whatever reason, scouts clearly don't favor him for whatever reason because he is not considered a top prospect. So that is an interesting case, and I think it'll be nice to see LaGrange maybe make a big leap over the next 2 years to potentially getting on the radar for the Mets. Patrick Mazzica is the last guy I wanted to talk about, and I have touched on him throughout the podcast over the offseason and maybe even before that because he is one of these guys that could be a catcher for the Mets in the next 2 years. He has a better hit tool than a lot of the catchers the Mets have when you look at Tomas Nido and Ali Sanchez, the guys that are currently on the 40-man roster behind Wilson Ramos. He was drafted by the Mets in the 8th round in 2015 out of Stetson, was an outstanding hitting catcher in college as a career .348 hitter at that level, becomes a professional in 2015, tears up the Appalachian League, hit .354 there with a .451 on-base percentage and a .540 slugging percentage, had 27 doubles in those 62 games. 2016, plays in Columbia with the Fireflies, hit .305 with a .414 on-base percentage, .402 slugging percentage. Again, very solid numbers across the board. 2017, same thing. Plays some in Port St. Lucie, graduates to Binghamton, plays 6 games, probably just the playoffs that year in AA, but was a very good hitter, .290 across both stops, .389 on base percentage, .416 slugging percentage, and at that time, he was ranked as the 18th best prospect in the Mets farm system. According to Baseball America, they lauded his ability to hit with contact and the power production that was starting to grow. So at that point, you were looking at a catcher that was a serious prospect in this Mets farm system. 2018 came, and he just did not play great in AA. He hit .231 with .328 on base percentage and a by far career low .363 slugging percentage, and that really tanked his prospect status. Last year, again, at AA, just couldn't quite hack it. .245 batting average, .312 on base percentage. He did hit for some more pop, .426 slugging percentage. Had a career high 16 home runs, 69 RBIs, 25 doubles. So the power did come back. The question is, can Mazzucca adjust to clearly superior pitching? He might just be one of those guys that's a great hitter at the lower levels, but once you start to see that real upper echelon pitching talent in AA and beyond, he just can't hack it. So I think that Mazzucca is a really interesting player. He's 26 years old, so another one where, you know, the age starts to get to the point where you wonder if he's ever going to break through. But here's a guy who could have a really big year in AAA and maybe turn some heads as a potential catcher that can bring a little bit to the plate offensively. Now, these were just my honorable mentions of Mets prospects that aren't in their top 30. I'm going to do the same thing with the pitchers, and then we will eventually get into the series where I'll start to talk about every single prospect in the Mets top 30 going two at a time. Now, next week, I will once again be joined by Brian Wright at some point to talk about his book, The New York Mets All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Amazons. I've tweeted out a link to that, so you can find that on my Twitter page, at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also just look up Brian Wright on Amazon. You can find the book there. We will be going through his first chapter on pitchers, the best pitchers in Mets history. So that should be a fun episode coming next week. And I'll continue to do prospects and maybe look at the big league squad a little more as well. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check out the Locked On MLB podcast every day right here in the Locked On Podcast Network. All you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB.